Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's November 21st, 1961, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
There are no revolving restaurants remaining in Britain, a fact that brings sorrow to the hardest of hearts. But today in history is a significant date in the Culinary Chronicles nonetheless, because more than 20 revolving restaurants still exist in the USA. And it was on this day in 1961 that eating and rotating were thrillingly combined for the first time there, when La Ronde in Honolulu, 298 feet tall with a rotational speed of once per hour, first dazzled its dizzy diners.
And I must say, I'm always amazed by high attractions in low-rise cities. Like, at the time that La Ronde...
That's such a niche thing to know you love. Well,
no, it's like, okay, so like right near me in Brighton, there's this thing called the British Airways I-360, which is just a massive kind of phallus thing that takes you up and down on a round observation deck, which doesn't rotate, curiously. But Brighton, there's not that much to see. It's low rise. And similarly, at the time that La Ronde opened, at least, Honolulu looked pretty sparse. You know, you got a view of Pearl Harbor and the sea and the mountains, but the city itself was just like these little houses.
So wait, what you're saying is, oh, there's no skyscrapers to look at. All I can see is Pearl Harbor and the natural beauty of Hawaii.
Yeah, repulsive.
One of the most scenic places on the planet. What, I think what's weird about La Ronde is you tend to think that this is something that America must have invented, right? The revolving restaurant, it's got this George Jetson style of 1960s futurism, flashy, slightly pointless, but exciting architecture and innovations. It just feels very of the time.
Yes.
But they were actually invented in the far less whimsical Germany.
Mm. Post-war Dortmund.
Yeah, and I mean, this probably was the only fun thing they had. The inspiration for Dortmund's tower came from Stuttgart's TV tower, which had a barrel-shaped restaurant near the top, which did not rotate. The people of Dortmund took one look at Stuttgart and thought, this but rotating. Yeah. One of the reasons that they happened in TV towers was because they are big buildings that require a lot of upkeep, and it was seen as this was a great way to offset some of those expenses, was to have a restaurant in there. So,
also enamour the public to the frankly not very attractive design. Like, if you've got a big concrete pillar, like, at least if people can go up it and see things from the top and have a nice meal, you're sort of, you're flattering them, aren't you, to think that the building's nice.
Especially in an era where the TV tower could easily be the tallest building in your town or city. So in 1959, the Florian Tower, TV tower restaurant in Dortmund opened with the world's first rotating restaurant. And it was a little bit lower than La Ronde. It was a mere 150 metres in the air. But obviously it didn't take long
for the
US to
think. Still the tallest thing in Dortmund. You'd have liked that, Arian.
As long as I can see some sort of a mountain and some sort of a house, I'll be happy.
Obviously, it did not take the USA long to adopt the idea of having their own revolving restaurants. There had actually been ideas for doing this for a really long time, and a lot of them surprisingly complex, considering what the actual technology ended up being, but we'll get into that. For instance, in 1933, at where else? The World's Fair in Chicago.
It's always the World's Fair.
Right. Yes. The designer Norman Bel Geddes proposed a restaurant that would be on a rotating column, which is so and obviously that never happened. It was extremely complicated. It would be extremely heavy and would almost certainly break down every single day.
You mentioned the technology being quite straightforward in the end, and I think that's worth underlining, you know, to anyone who hasn't ever been up a revolving restaurant, it is actually very straightforward. You've got a middle platform which is stationary, you know, like a normal room.
Yep.
And that is where you have the elevator shaft, obviously, because no one wants a double rotating elevator, and the kitchen, which leaves you quite a small kitchen, which means the menu has to be quite small. And then on the outside you have a platform that revolves around the middle, And what I found interesting about this, which I didn't realise, because I just assumed there's like a maximum speed for these things that's based on, you know, the technology, but there isn't.
No, come
on. Engineering doesn't say. Yeah, yeah, you can go if you want, 30 miles an hour. The thing that is limiting the speed that you're going round is set by the company that commissioned the rotating restaurant. And the major manufacturer of rotating restaurants, which is Macton from Connecticut, USA, in the West anyway, Wisehong in China, build the ones elsewhere. But Macton say that we'll take your lead on how fast you want the rotation to go. But generally, you want it to be so that obviously by the end of a three-course or a four-course meal, you've seen the whole view. And if in busy periods you want to fill the tables more rapidly, you can make it rotate faster, and that will make people leave sooner. Yeah. Psychologically, once you've done the whole view, you're done.
And physically, because they are chundering up their dinner.
I suppose there is a speed at which it's just not advisable.
Yeah.
Well, La Ronde took an hour to complete a full rotation, but some of them have gone for, I would say, far headier speeds. For instance, the BT Tower in London famously had a restaurant that was on the 34th floor. That went for one rotation every 23 minutes,
which honestly feels fast.
But I guess you need it to be enough that you're aware that you're in a rotating restaurant, right? You don't really want to not notice that you're rotating. That's the whole point.
I have the menu here from this opening day at La Ronde. Would you like to know what you can be eating over Pearl Harbor?
So I'm going to slowly turn my desk chair around as you say the names.
So for an appetizer, there's only a choice of two, as I say, small kitchen. Either fresh Hawaiian fruit supreme, which is a combination of tropical fruits, or shrimp cocktail supreme.
Got to be shrimp cocktail.
Favorite. That's got to be shrimp cocktail, right?
Yeah, how much?
I think so too. $1.75 for that.
Oof. Pushing the boat out on that one.
That feels expensive in 1960 money.
Then for your main course, your entree, which is served with a toss green salad with your choice of blue cheese, French or Thousand Island dressing and vegetable of the day and French fried potatoes or rice and rolls and butter and choice of beverage.
Whoa.
Right? Wow. You can have mahi-mahi, shrimp tempura, chicken pineapple. I mean, but we are in Hawaii, you know, Polynesian delicacy. Yeah. Beef teriyaki, shrimp curry, or from the broiler... your sort of surf and turf menu. My favourite bit about this is they've written in their description of filet mignon, which is $6.50, the queen of beefdom. I feel like any menu that has room for that poetry among such a small selection of entrees has won my heart.
Well, it's got to be that, hasn't it? Like, I assume in this timeline we've got that Don Draper money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. The most famous rotating restaurant, though, the one that kind of made the concept international, was the one after this, which was the one in the Space Needle in 1962, again, for the World's Fair, which was then featured in a film called It Happened at the World's Fair, a potentially decent alternative title for this podcast, starring Elvis Presley. So you had scene with Elvis sitting in a rotating restaurant, and that was the thing that really created something of a craze, and loads of the most rotating restaurants in the world were built in the immediate era after that.
Well, it's astonishing as well how long humans have wanted to, frankly, sit on things and rotate, because I found this, there's a book called...
Explicit tag.
Well, okay, so according to a book called Revolving Architecture, A History of Buildings That Rotate, Swivel and Pivot, I mean, that's got to be pretty niche. Anyway, people have been coming up with these buildings, not just for restaurants, but for all sorts of different businesses for ages. So you've had like rotating houses and parking garage and solariums and things. And all of these ideas tended to serve a practical purpose. You know, if you've got a parking garage, it's so that the cars can enter one way and then drive out without having to change gear or turn around.
The origins of the revolving restaurant are far older than you might assume. I think I thought it was some sort of whimsical Victorian steampunk type idea. You know, we've done the Industrial Revolution. What can we put things on to make them turn around? But apparently it dates back to ancient Rome, where supposedly... supposedly, and this word is doing a bit of carrying.
Yeah, slaves put you in a wheelbarrow and take you around in a circle.
Spin you around by throwing fried dormice into your mouth. Now, apparently, the Emperor Nero had a dining room in his palace, the Domus Aurea, that could rotate. And they have found what they think might be where the big spherical mechanisms under the floor would have sat to make this happen. They were powered probably by water, possibly by slaves. You know, it was a time when a lot of things were slave powered in it, you know, in ancient Rome. But it seems like maybe it was powered by water and that would turn these big spheres that would then rotate the room.
Nero was known for a lot of crazy stuff, wasn't he? Are we sure that this wasn't just a figment of his imagination, this rotating restaurant?
Well, I love the idea. I feel like Nero's a kind of guy you would have to act super impressed.
Yes, definitely. Well, and also there is a fondness, it seems, for rotating restaurants among dictators. Kim Il-sung was a huge fan of revolving restaurants, and he at one point was aiming to have 7 of them in North Korea. The first of them did actually get completed, but only a year after he died. So tragically, he never got to see his, his magnum opus realized. Baghdad Restaurant, which used to be known as International Saddam Tower, that had a rotating restaurant in it until... what happened?
It was quite a well-publicised war, Arian. I mean, we all remember
how
what
did that
happened.
End up?
What happened to that guy? You don't hear about him anymore.
Tomorrow.
His reputation as this sort of fearsome, gratuitous, demonic murderer is...
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are...
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.